All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, we have quite the intriguing fight set to go down at BKFC 23, Richmond versus Rickles. It happens on April the 8th, and we've got Derek Findlay getting ready to knuckle up and toe the line against Jake Lindsay, and always good having Jake on the show. How's your day going so far there, man?
Man, I had an interesting morning. I'm kind of starting my weight cut a little bit, which isn't bad. I can make the weight easy, but you know, you kind of cut from the carbs out of it in your normal food, and I made the best omelet. I spent so much time. I made a masterpiece of an omelet. And then, without thinking, I grabbed a bottle of hot sauce. I didn't even look at the bottle of hot sauce, and I smeared it all over my omelet, and I took a couple bites, and I realized it was one of those crazy, like, you know, ghost pepper, you can't have a drop of it, it's too hot,
yeah,
hot sauce. So, yeah. The first hour of my day, I was like sniffling and crying and trying to gargle milk to get some heat out of my mouth. But other than that, it's been great.
I was going to say, you think we can parlay this into like BKFC getting you on an episode of Hot Ones or something like that, or maybe not in the cards?
Dude, I would kill Hot Ones all day. Like, yeah, I would love it. I don't think once I'm champion for BKFC, maybe then I'll have the notoriety, but I don't think I'm not famous enough for that show, unfortunately.
I was gonna say kind of a light.
Sorry, go ahead.
Smack the referee like Will Smith. Maybe I should pull a Will Smith and smack somebody. Then maybe I'll
I saw your name was Will Smith popping up in the Zoom thing, and that made me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing was ridiculous. You know, I haven't even read it. Like, people are talking about it left and right, but I haven't really paid attention to it, but here's the reality, if I slap someone like that, I'd be in jail. So, that's unfortunate for me, but.
Yeah, very curious thing to see for sure, but you were kind of talking about like wanting to kind of vie for that belt as like a goal you have within BKFC. I imagine Derek Findlay would kind of play a positive role in that, in as far as, you know, he fought Caleb Harris there, who eventually went on to contend for the belt, and I mean, very well, one of you could find yourself in a rankings spot with a, you know, victory here and everything. So is that something you're thinking of a little bit?
Oh, for sure. You know, I've had my eye on BKFC for a long time, and the sport suits me really well, and I 100% believe I could be the champion in my division. And Derek Findlay, yeah, he though he lost his last bout, he put on a really good showing, and he's very talented. And, a good win over him. Once I finish him, because I'm going to put him down. You know, his last fight went to decision. I'm going to put him down for sure. But a good dominant victory over him will line me up for at least a title eliminator bout. I think after one more after this one, I'm in line for the title.
Yeah, it seems like you're in more of like a natural kind of division now. Like, you were fighting a bit heavier in the initial sort of fight, but it seems like this sophomore bout is more aligned with like climbing the divisional hierarchy. And yeah, I mean, I would agree with that too. I feel like you're well positioned for a title shot if you really have like a show out kind of finish.
Yeah, you know, you're right on that. I'm not undersized for 170, I guess, in terms of like strength. But in terms of body mass, I am, because that's kind of been the deal with fighting at 70 in MMA. Like, I've had quite a bit of success in it, but all my really best fights have been at 65. I'm right there. Like, I could wake up tomorrow and make 70 without even cutting any weight, essentially, like just not drinking water. So 170 was a little bit too big, and 65 is going to be about perfect for me. Though in BKFC, I will say that fighting that higher weight class, this is one of the reasons I love the sport, because you don't have so much grappling involved. Going up and down weight classes is a easier thing to do. So in MMA, if you go from 55 to 70, your opponents are going to be 40 pounds heavier than your opponents at 55. There's a gigantic leap in weight. And a lot of that weight doesn't necessarily translate to skills. If you get a guy who's a decent wrestler, and he's just 30 pounds heavier than you, that's, you know, you could be a better wrestler than him, but the weight makes so much of a difference. So I think 65 is the home for me. I'm going to get the belt there, finish some guys, and then I have no problem going up to 75. I'm not going back down to 55, though. That's not ever going to happen. So,
yeah, it's just good to see more of that in the different combat sports. Like, even in mixed martial arts, like, the first time we talked there was after you'd captured a 165-pound title there. So, yeah, it's interesting, though. So, like, a lot of the training dynamics with BKFC allows for, like, fluid back and forth between weight divisions more so. That's kind of interesting. I didn't really, I guess, think of it from that perspective, but that does make sense.
Yeah, and I've been meaning to come back up there and see you guys. I've had 3 or 4 fight offers for to defend my 65 belt up there, but I can't go up there because I'm not vaccinated. You guys are cutting me off from travel.
Yeah, we got to see you come through, man. I always like seeing you perform at the River Cree and just being at that venue in general there. So you've had a couple offers, but just with the, you know, regulations and whatever, just hasn't really aligned smoothly.
I was supposed to fight Chin Campbell 3 times now, and it just never happened. That's a fight I really want to get, but eventually, maybe one day. But all my energy is just focused on bare knuckle right now. All my training is very specific for bare knuckle. I've actually done some kind of unregulated, you know, bare knuckle type stuff just kind of on the side years and years ago, just kind of pretty much for fun. It suits my style really well. My straight boxing is it's pretty slick, and the problem is you can't fight like that in MMA because you can get kicked in the head and all that stuff. So all my head movement and stuff like that is kind of out the window in MMA. But I'm pretty much fully focused on BKFC right now. I want to fight 4 times a year if possible. And I just want to tear it up in BKFC for the next couple of years. I'd like to – now, this is very ambitious, but I'd like to win that 65 belt, defend it once, and then maybe go up for a 75 belt.
Yeah, I love hearing that. Very clearly defined goals. And like I was saying earlier in the conversation, pretty well positioned to do so for sure. But something else that kind of aligns with this fight that was present in the initial one there, just, you know, Dave Rickles being on the card there. He was on that BKFC Wichita card and going to be headlining this one here. It seemed like he played a key role in the bout preparations last time out, just being a good coach in different ways and good for like motivation and stuff like that. Were you working with him a fair bit leading into this one as well?
Unfortunately, no. Me and Dave didn't get a chance to spar and get together. But me and him have been training together for, you know, 15 years. So I've been working with, for this camp, I've been working kind of with a group of boxers down here in Manhattan. But it's always like that. You're always super motivated. If it's just me on the card, I'm really motivated anyway. But when you have your boys on the card, we have David Rickles, we have Isaac Doolittle, he's a close friend of mine, ex-training partner. You have me, you have Jessica Link. You have all the local Kansas people. It really puts some extra fire in you to come out there and kind of perform good, not just for yourself, but to represent them as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough as far as like the boxing-centric kind of training. So are you not at Combative Sports Center for this one as much, or still getting in some work there?
No, I'm always, I'm CSC for life, man. I'll always train there. But, you know, the training for bare knuckle is slightly different. You know, it's not, I'm not going to jiu-jitsu classes and rolling and doing all that stuff. So I brought some guys into Combative Sports Center specifically to train with, to box with. I have a couple guys. We have some in-house boxers there that are really, really good and actually very well for my opponent. The other guy I train with named Dan, and he's 5'7", the same height as Derek, and he's just a little monster. Overhand rights, big left hooks, kind of the same thing you'll see from Finley in the fight. So, I'm never gonna officially switch gyms. I mean, I'm CSC, I'm an OG from CSC, and I'm gonna stay there until I retire. So.
Yeah, for sure. Like the last time we were talking, it seemed like it was a very strong communal sort of bond there. So that's good to hear, like Coach Joe and everything like that. But you kind of touched on it a little bit with Derek Findlay as far as like some of the things you're sort of expecting from him in there. And I mean, not a great deal to draw off of in like a bare knuckle context. Like I was saying, both of your second fights in that kind of combat sport. But like from what you can tell, like what does Derek Findlay really do well in the ring in terms of like his skill set?
Well, you know, I think he clearly has an extended professional boxing background. He's done some pro boxing. He's been in some really good camps. Like, he's been involved in some high-level boxing sparring with some pretty high-level guys. And he does a couple things. He parries very well. He pulls and slips pretty well. He doesn't move particularly well. And beneficially for me, the things he does really well, he does the boxing things really well, like parrying and the Philly shell blocking. But that doesn't really work in bare knuckle. You don't have a glove on your hand. You can't sit there and Philly shell and block punches, because unless they hit you directly on your hand, you're getting hit with a knuckle on your eye socket, on your forehead, wherever. So I would say he also pressures well. He walks forward, but he is kind of just a lumbering. It's just forward, forward, forward. He tries to counter. He does stay, to his credit, he stays really well composed in the pocket, which is another trait you get from doing all the rounds and rounds and rounds of boxing, being a former pro boxer. He stays really composed in the pocket. And when he was fighting in his last fight, some of the best success he had was in those moments where they were in the pocket but not clinched up. You know, he'd slip, roll, body, body, head. He landed some decent shots. But he doesn't clinch well at all, and that's to be expected. Boxers do have a quote-unquote boxer's clinch, but it's not the same thing as like a Greco-Roman upper body clinch. It's just not. So he's pretty inexperienced in that. And I think that played a factor in his loss. It seemed to fatigue him. And it seemed to me, watching him, he'd get close and he would just grab just because he could grab. It was like in the rule set. But he'd almost choke his own range because he'd be close enough to hit and start throwing some inside chops, and then he'd go ahead and start grappling. And then he'd start getting punched in the face because he didn't know how to do the clinch work. So he does a lot of stuff really well for pure boxing. And again, he's had one fight in BKFC, so you can never really, you know, we haven't seen his whole skill set because he's still getting used to it. But in terms of in bare knuckle, I mean, he's tough. He takes a shot really well, I'll tell you that. Yeah, he ate some clean punches, and it looks like he hits decently hard. I know in his last fight, the guy he fought has a really good chin too, and he never really seemed to hurt him per se, but he landed some real clean shots. And if you just look at his frame and his stature, if you're 5'7", fighting at 65, you're probably going to have a lot of muscle mass. So overall, I would say he's not stylistically matched up very well versus me. He needs a guy that's probably a little shorter, can't move as well, and is willing to sit there and just trade with him, versus someone like me who has real natural slick head movement, and I can switch up the range real quick, and I'll demolish him in the clinch. Like, the clinch was my strong suit in MMA too. So, but yeah, that's what I think about Mr. Finley.
That is fair, because I think the bulk of his combative experience, from what I was seeing, is mostly like gloved boxing and stuff like that. So a lot of the proclivities you outlined there kind of seem like it would be coming from that there. But something from one of the last times we were talking about too that I thought was interesting, you were talking about how, you know, yourself and your girlfriend ended up fighting on the same night there. Is she still kind of training and looking to compete a little bit, or?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, before I came, I just saw her about an hour ago. I was like, hey, I gotta get home, I got this interview. She's like, oh, make sure you mention me. I was like, all right. So conveniently enough, you know, yeah, she's still training. She is a really talented painter. She's and that, I didn't realize how, she's the lead painter at a big company in our town, so she's been really busy with that. They have a lot of jobs coming up, and I didn't realize how high of a skill ceiling there was in painting. Like, there's like painting scientists out there that just do amazing things. And so she's been busy with that, but no, she's on for she's kind of back on training here this week, and she's on to fight in the next couple months or so. Ultra talented, you know, a lot of guts, really tough. So I'm gonna get through this fight, and then we're gonna go ahead and start focusing more on her for a little bit and get her skills rounded out and get in good shape for her next fight coming up.
Yeah, you could be her Coach Joe in the corner, as it were, give her the timely advice when necessary.
You know, it's funny. I've only been in her corner one time because the two t- oh no excuse me her last fight I wasn't in her corner because we fought together, and I always tell her, it's like, you know, a lot of people, grown men, what wouldn't drive somewhere by themselves to do a fight by themselves, like a very tough thing to do. So yeah I'll be in her corner yelling at her and then kissing her afterwards.
Yeah, you love to see it for sure, but something you love to hear historically is a lot of heavy metal and whatnot. And kind of the last time we were talking, you were like, oh yeah, you know, I haven't ripped some metal in a little bit, so I'll listen to a bit of that this afternoon. Did you end up sending her a little bit, like for some like Dimmu Borgir, like that kind of stuff, like, you know?
I sent her some songs that she liked to get her pumped up, but she's kind of like, she kind of gets really hyper, like focused on her own, so like I kind of have to bring her down a bit before she fights. That's kind of what you, and as a coach, that's one thing me and Joe we work so well together because he knows how to communicate with me the right way. We've known each other for 15, 20 years. And as a coach, when you're coaching someone else, you have to know when to deregulate and upregulate them. As a fighter as well, that's a really big skill you need to make sure you don't gas out. But I have to deregulate her because it'll be an hour before she's fighting and she's ready to go. And it's like, hey, let's just chill out. Like, relax. You got a long time. But if she's too excited, I can't send her any metal. I got to send her some, like, slow jazz or something like that to listen to.
Yeah, good for the composure and everything like that. And, yeah, something else I always enjoy that you use your platform for is just being, like, a big mental health advocate as well. I think it's cool that that's a passion of yours and stuff like that. Have you ever had any like fans reaching out or anything like that, like people who derived inspiration from stuff like that? Because it seems like you use your, you know, profile well for different stuff like that.
I actually have multiple times, and I'll make posts sometimes that I just get my own. I think about those kind of things like way more than a normal person should, right? Like way more than someone who's not a professional therapist. I think about psychology and mental health issues a lot. And I do have people reach out sometimes. I'll make a post about something, or I'll comment on something, or I'll have like a debate or a conversation with someone about specific subjects. And I always get little messages like, hey man, like that's, you know, where'd you come up with that idea? Or like, you know, I'll get in a conversation with someone, or people will reach out and just say, hey, you know, like, I really appreciate your perspective. That really made me think about it this way. Or, you know, not to make me sound like Mr. Smarty Pants, but people will just, hey, you know, I like your point of view, but I don't agree. And I'll have, you know, small conversations with people. So I do more than you would imagine, you know. I think a lot of people are really scared to be honest about their opinions and put their real views on things, or to make themselves vulnerable, to really translate feelings you have and ideas you have. You have to be open to make yourself vulnerable, and that's something Jordan Peterson's really good at, you know. Of course you know that because you listen to him, but for me, fortunately and sometimes unfortunately, I don't really have that mechanism in my brain to where like normal social cues, you know, affect me. Like it doesn't really matter. I'll ask people any questions. I'll say things. I wouldn't say that they're inappropriate, but most people wouldn't be comfortable saying to strangers. I just don't have that in my brain for whatever reason. So, yeah, you know, that's a long-winded answer, but I've never been scared to speak my opinion on things, and I really like debating, and I really like talking about ideas. So, yeah, I have. That's a great question, actually. That's a really good question. I didn't expect you to ask me something like that. You're doing your homework, man. You're on it.
Oh, yeah, I try to ask stimulating enough questions. I work in a couple dumb questions for fun, but I try to get a couple stimulating ones in there, too.
Do you have any mental health issues you want to talk about on air?
Oh, man, everybody's got their own shit, for sure. I mean, there's a couple things that I could certainly work on, no doubt. It was kind of like that talk we had last time. Like, you were saying, just, like, leaning head-on about certain, I guess, like, habits that maybe aren't the most beneficial, and just kind of being forthright with certain uncomfortable things like that. Like, I find I'm doing more of that kind of stuff lately, so yeah. But you know, everyone has their own kind of stuff going on, so
Yeah, pathological behavior patterns are the worst, man. Admitting to yourself that a lot of the pain that you've been through is your fault and you did it is very painful, and that's why people don't do it. And that's kind of what you're describing there, being honest with yourself about, okay, you know, this is my behavior, this is my issue, and this is what it's doing. I need to quit ignoring it. It's something that's a skill that needs to be developed for sure. And I think I really would say for our society as a whole, for Western culture, I think they should add some of that stuff in the high schools, have maybe a self-accountability course or like a self-awareness course in high school with that psychology, so kids can start learning those skills. Because speaking from experience, it took me, I was well past the age I should have been able to do that when I learned how to do it. And the longer you take to learn how to do it, the harder it is to do.
Yeah, for sure. It's one of those things where it's better to, you know, tackle a framework like that, like earlier on in your formative years and stuff like that. Yeah, perfectly well put. Difficult to really form those different kind of habits once you're like so entrenched in an initial set of habits that maybe aren't working out. But it's always fun getting to talk to you, man. I always like the myriad of topics we get into, but I do also want to be mindful of your schedule for sure. So is there anything you want to add kind of as a parting thought as we're wrapping up, Jake?
Yeah, well, everyone tune in to BKFC. I'm going to throw some hands. And I'm hoping to get hit a little bit this time because last time my face was clean. I wanted some hematomas because I'm going to bring some leeches with me. That way, if I need some blood drained, I can just throw them on my face and deal with it that way. Parting thoughts, you know, since we're on the subject of psychology and stuff, this might be beneficial for anyone listening. And this is definitely not my idea, but I found it to be very – it's helped my life a lot. You know, some people have this idea that if a conversation or a situation is difficult to deal with, that they don't need to deal with it. But what you're doing is you're just trading off short-term comfort for long-term, you know, discomfort. So if you have issues in your life that you need to deal with and you're scared to deal with them and you don't want to, well, all you're doing is just you're turning that little lizard that you have to get out of your house. Eventually it's going to turn into a dragon. So, you know, confront your issues. Don't be scared. Everyone has to do it. And you're not nearly as big of a fuck up as I am. So I'm sure you'll be fine.
Some good parting thoughts to end off on. And yeah, always good getting to chop it up a little bit with you, man. And looking forward to peeping this fight coming up on April the 8th, as I imagine a lot of people are, big title implications possibly, and getting a good spot in the rankings there. But yeah, thanks for coming on and giving some great insights, and yeah, just looking forward to peeping the fight in a little bit here.
Cool, man. I'll hit you up later, my man.